إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدى هدى محمد بن عبد الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار الحمد لله. We praise Allah, we seek His aid and forgiveness, we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and of our bad deeds. Whomsoever Allah guides, none can misguide, and whomsoever Allah allows to be led astray, none can guide aright. And I bear witness that there is no one worthy of worship except Allah the Exalted, and that Muhammad is His last messenger and servant. O you who believe, be mindful of Allah and die not except in a state of submission to Him alone. O humanity, be mindful of Allah who created you from a single soul and from that created His mate, and from that scatters many men and women. O humanity, be mindful of Allah and do not cut off relations with your kin, with your relatives. Indeed, Allah is ar-raqib, the monitor over you. O humanity, be mindful of Allah and speak the truth in order for Him to accept us of our deeds and forgive us for our sins. And whoever obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Exalted, has indeed achieved the greatest success. As to what follows, indeed, the best book is the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The best speech is the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the best guidance is that of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Peace and blessings be upon him. And of the worst affairs in our doctrinal system of Islam are the newly invented ones. For every newly invented affair in the situation is an innovation. And for every innovation is a form of going astray. And for every form of going astray is in the fire of hell. God slowed my body down in order to speed my mind up. God slowed my body down in order to speed up my mind. This was a statement of a man that contracted polio. Had something to do with the nerves and the muscular system. To where his left foot was shorter, left leg was shorter than his right leg. He had to wear a shoe that had a bigger sole than everyone's typical shoe. But through the process of this as a kid, he was born with this. He was made fun of. His brothers used to tease him. To where they even offered to do a surgery to extend his leg. And he refused to do so. But he went through life with this challenge. And we have the opportunity to say, instead of challenge, this opportunity. Because the statement that was just mentioned, God slowed my body down to speed up my mind. He became a person that is well known for helping people in business and very, very eloquent and sharp. But what's important here is how you look if something was taken away that in his mind and in his heart, he knows for sure that it's for a divine reason, number one. And he knows that Allah will replace it in the way that he sees fit, number two. And with that in mind, he says something that coincides with number one and number two. That Allah ala kulli shay'in qadir, he's able to do all things. And from the manifestation of his ability is that he can take one thing away and replace it with something else. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam even said, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses to take away habibatayhi, the two beloved things, to take it away, yani to make them blind, to where they are blind, Allah will replace that with Jannah. Jannah. What's beautiful about this hadith is every single one of us, bifitrina, with our carnal self, our natural inclination, our disposition, we know that vision and sight is crucial for our existence. to where the lack of vision and the lack of seeing, whether it is totally absent or whether it is deficient, or even more so, deficient over time, which may even be the majority of us, subhanAllah, that is something that is cherished, it is valued, and some of us don't even recognize its value until it is decreased, until the value of it, or until the quality of it is lessened. That is what will wake you up. But do you wake up to praise and thank and have good thoughts about Allah, or is it the opposite? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Hadith Qudsi, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam narrates, when Allah says, "Ana inda dhanni 'abdi bi," He said, "I am as my servant thinks of me." So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes something away or does what He wills, what is your thought and your perception about what He chose to do? And that is why the qadr of an understanding predestination, that Allah chooses for things to happen, is for a divine reason. And that's why the blessings of pain is important for us to understand. That when we face something that we don't anticipate, and that thing that we didn't anticipate is not to our favor, we have to understand that some of the greatest gifts are painful when you receive them. Some of the greatest gifts are painful when you receive them. And I firmly believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is so amazing. You know, in the Quran, in the chapter of Rum, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wa min ayati, and from his signs. I countlessly tell myself and all of you that the word ayah, we can understand it to mean verse, but that's only one aspect of the word ayah. Because of the context of literature, meaning the Quran, the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is a verse. But ayah linguistically means a sign. It is a sign. When we say Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Alameen comes from Alam, which means to know. Because when you see a sign, it gives you knowledge of something. When you saw the street sign, the lights, red is a sign that has a message. If you don't implement the message, you could face the consequences. A stop sign has a message. Every single thing other than the Creator is an ayah. Not only a verse of the Quran. It is a sign of Allah's presence, and it is a sign of His beautiful names and attributes. So Allah, with the signs that He shows us on this earth, with the signs that He shows us via His names and attributes, creation, love, protection, predestination, it is important for the Muslim to search and see what sign is Allah showing me now. And then to act upon that knowledge that they have of Allah and the knowledge of that particular situation, which most likely will be in this situation with pain, patience. With pain, perseverance. With pain, gratitude. You know, from the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we mentioned, as some of the blessings are found in pain, we can give one example that all of us know. Childbirth. Not all of us. Men don't understand the reality of childbirth. We only sit and watch and, you know, thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for things, and then we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect our wives, our mothers. We don't know the reality of that. And that is, subhanAllah, from the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he mentions that I have the most jealousy or preserving the right of two demographics, two types of people, al-yateen wal-mar'a. Inni uharraju ashadda ala al-da'ifain. Okay, ma'a qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The yateen and the mar'a. I am very diligent in protecting these two weak forms of demographic, meaning that they're not totally weak, they can't handle themselves, but they are the ones that need protection. The yatim is the orphan and the woman. They need our protection as men. But with that reality, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is predestined for them to give childbirth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is predestined for them to face a certain type of pain that we as men can't even understand. It's unbearable if we were to think about it. To the degree when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described Maryam, when she conceived Isa, فأجاءها المخاض إلى جذع النخلة قال يا ليتني مت قبلها وكنت نسيا منسيا. مت قبل هذا وكنت نسيا منسيا. Allah gets descriptive. He says the pains of childbirth came to Maryam, the mother of Jesus. She grabbed the tree, إلى المخاض جذن. And she said, I wish I was not here at this moment, that I was forgotten about. The pain was unbearable, and then the pain of what people would say, so emotional and physical pain at the same time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's wisdom, we can never totally encompass it. That's why it's important for us when we face, not if, when we face this pain, that we allow it to serve as a process for purification. That pain is a means that Allah has predestined for us individually and collectively for purification. And once we understand that, we know that, and we try our best to internalize it, that is where the reward lies. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله على إحسانه والشكر له على توفيقه وامتنانه. It's all within the qadr of Allah, brother. We cannot say anything to displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, my family, they came to me and then they said, why weren't you in the front seat? I said, we can't say this in Islam. This is what was mentioned to me that from a brother in our community that suffered a very tragic accident. Very tragic accident here in Dallas. He was on the road, on a highway, and he faced a flat tire on the right, the passenger side, in the front, to where he veered off to the side of the road. So there's the road, there's the highway, then there's this shoulder, and then there's the metal boundary. So he is on the right side, he and his sister-in-law are on the right side trying to figure out how to fix the tire. So they're in between the tire and the metal rail. It was a July 4th. They went to go see the fireworks, you know, that some of us may do. So he went there and he tried to see, okay, how can we fix the tire? Come to find out, they didn't have a spare tire. He looked under the car, there was no spare tire. And his daughter, mashallah, is very active as he is. Beautiful brother, very active brother. His daughter wanted to get out the car. He said, no, stay in the car. No, stay in the car. And then he tells me from his hospital bed, after I said, no, stay in the car the third time, that's all I remember. I don't remember anything else. Brothers and sisters, this brother, a truck came 75 miles per hour, hit the back left side of the car, and grazed the car, hit the back left side and grazed the car. He said that he was told that his car that he was in front, he flew. And his sister-in-law was pinned in between the passenger right front side of the car and the rail, to where immediately amputated, cut off her leg. Immediately. He tells me that when I woke up, I went and I'm like, where's my daughter? Where's my daughter? His daughter was in the car. The car hit with so much of an impact. He said that she had a blunt dent on her head. Very big. And you look in the x-ray, you see that there's a big crack in her skull. His sister-in-law, he tries to pull her. He said, I put my hand under her armpits and I tried to pull her out. She was screaming and she was biting me. He said, I didn't even realize she was biting me. The adrenaline. All of this happening. SubhanAllah. When talking to this brother, all he kept saying is what I said earlier. You know, it's the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what Allah chose to happen. Maybe it could have been this. Maybe I could have been in the front seat of the car. Maybe it could have been this. Maybe there were some things in the back of the car, some utensils, and some of them rushed forward to the car. What if I was in the passenger seat at that time? Maybe it could have been. Allah knows best. His speech, Allah, 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 Allah. And his relative, he said that some of them were coming to say, why didn't you stay in the car? This wouldn't have happened. He said, no, in Islam we can't say that. This is what he said. In Islam, we can't say that. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what did he say? وَلَا تَقُلْ لَوْ فَإِنَّ لَوْ تَفْتَحْ بَابًا مِنْ أَبْوَابِ الشَّيْطَانِ. He said, and do not say, if this would have happened, then this would have happened. For really saying that is what? It opens a door to Satan. How? Because you do not have the predestinative nature to understand future events. You do not know. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which was told by Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhumah, when he would go and visit someone, he would say, La ba'sa tahurun insha'Allah. When entering upon anyone that's sick or facing an ailment that some scholars had even mentioned in this situation, you say, La ba'sa tahurun insha'Allah. Insha'Allah translates to mean, don't worry, no problem, it'll serve as a purification. It's very important when seeing people that have been afflicted with some kind of pain, that you remind them of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because it is very, very easy to lose hope in Him. And I think this time when speaking about it, what's going on around the world, remember my last khutbah, I said it is not for us to compare atrocities. This is happening in Gaza and this is happening in China. We know that all these are atrocities. And people are facing this. But it's important to know that the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very important when visiting or seeing or hearing about someone's affliction. When we read on a WhatsApp message when someone is in the hospital or someone has passed away, inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'. That should be a reminder for all of us that verily we are for Allah and to Him we will return. We are on this earth for Allah. We have no ultimate control. So when the brother was mentioning the accident, it was statements of recognition of the Qadr. Recognition of Allah's knowledge and predestination. Because that is a protective mechanism against jazir, against being impatient. And being impatient is saying, I'm in this situation. Why would Allah put me in this situation? You know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he visited an old man and he said, Labas tahurun inshallah. He said, what do you mean tahurun? I'm having this sickness, this fever, and it's eating me up, and it's gonna make me tuzil qabr. He said, it's gonna make me visit the grave. You know the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Fana'am idhan. He said, Fana'am idhan. Brothers, if you can come up and leave space for your brothers, inshallah, if you can scoot up, jazakumullah khairan. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Fana'am idhan. He said, okay, if that's what you say, then fine. Right? It's important to have that spirit when visiting the person. To be someone that uplifts their spirits. Because it is a very difficult situation. And I'm almost sure that each and every single one of us knows someone that has a relative, or we are relatives, of someone suffering in one of these countries. I'm very sure that each and every one of us has visited someone in the hospital. So don't forget this particular dua, la ba'sa tahuran insha'Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would also say when entering upon someone, Allahumma rabbun nas, adhib al-ba's, wa ishfi, anta shafi la shifa illa shifa'uk, shifa' ladhi la yughadira saqama. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when you enter, he would make dua for the person and say, oh Allah, the Lord of the mankind, relinquish this disease or this pain that this person is facing. أَذْهِبِ الْبَأْسِ وَشْفِي. And cure him or her. Why? أَنْتَ الشَّافِي. You are the ultimate cure. لَا شِفَاءِ لَا شِفَاءُكَ. There is no cure except your cure. شِفَاءَ الَّذِي لَا يُغَادِرَ سَقْمَ. A shifa, that the cure that does not allow the disease to prolong inside of that person. This is important. That we as Muslims practice these sunan, these practices from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because not to sound cliche, when we practice the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it increases our closeness to Allah, which can serve indirectly or directly as a means of increasing that person's iman. Because whenever we see someone that has faced a challenge, we can indirectly look at it as an opportunity. An opportunity to come closer to Allah. An opportunity to remind someone about Allah. You know, as we're sitting with this brother, he's relating, he's showing us video and pictures, and you know, he's talking about it, and every time he's saying, you know, subhanAllah, and that's the qadr of Allah, I can't be displeased. His sister-in-law was in the next room, in a coma. She was in a coma and woke up. Didn't know if she was going to wake up. But he's praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His non-Muslim relatives, daughter was non-Muslim. young daughter, she came to him 15 years old. She came to say, I think I'm thinking about becoming a Muslim. Why? Because so many sisters went over there to visit. People that don't even know me are coming to visit me and give me flowers. Brothers and sisters, let's take a step back, wallahi. It's important that we take a step back and just look at the blueprint of Islam. Like, we understand that Islam is from Allah. طيب. بعد ذلك. The system, the framework that Allah has set up for us to practice. Let's not get in this mentality of, I'm practicing Islam for me. Yes, you are. But you have to understand, when you practice to the best of your ability, and I'm not saying practice as though it is monolithic or black and white. We all have our struggles. But when they see you try your best to practice and you're doing that, it has a rippling effect on those around you. And you won't even know. And that is the manifestation of huda min al-hadi. That is the manifestation of guidance. So brothers and sisters, whenever we see or face or hear about pain, know that it is an opportunity for us to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Know that pain requires a process. It is not overnight. It is not in 1 second. And if it's possible that it could be that way based on the type of pain that you're facing and your wherewithal, what you're able to handle. Maybe it was previous trauma that you faced and then you're facing it again. You know how to handle it. Maybe you could be someone that gives someone advice that faces that similar type of trauma. That pain was a way that Allah is waking you up to teach you something. And a way, shufal, listen, a way that Allah is using you as a means to teach someone else something. Do not discount the pain by being displeased with the fact that the pain exists. The pain is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's knowledge. It is what He has written. It is from His will. And it is what He has created. His predestination. What He has allowed. For a divine wisdom that it is none of our business to know all the time why it happened. But we know for sure that it happened in front of us. That is what is most important. What do you do when that pain is there? And how do you act? Because make no mistake, it is a test from your Creator to place something in front of you that you don't want. And that test is not going to be easy. But know for sure that the severity of the pain, the reward, is contingent upon the severity of the pain. The more you outlast that pain, the more you deal with it, the more you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more you thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, every single time you face that pain, as the Prophet ﷺ said, not a thorn pricks a believer, a thorn pricks a believer, except it will serve as expiation. Wallahi, I went to see one sister, subhanAllah, she couldn't even move. She said, all of a sudden I'm facing pain in my midsection and it's radiating everywhere. Just went through a situation with her spouse, they're separated, and she's facing this pain, but she's remembering Allah. She's patient. She's saying, I went around to these physicians. Maybe is there an opportunity to see someone that does a ruqya, that reads Quran? They're patient. And they're active in their hearts. Their iman is active. So brothers and sisters, use this as an opportunity to remind you of how blessed you are as a Muslim. And I say Muslim because you have an anchor to go back to. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that, He's the repository that you turn to. He's the one that you empty yourself to. You totally empty yourself and you exhaust yourself with trust, with the trust in Him, with love, with loving Him. That is very important in times of anguish. So when seeing this in these stories, brothers and sisters, when visiting this brother, it was very, very beautiful because we didn't even realize it. We were talking, we laughed, and then we started to make fun of each other, the brothers that we were visiting him. And he said something so powerful. He said, man, brothers, I needed this. I needed the brotherhood. I needed this. He started laughing. He said, I really needed this. We didn't even realize it. So brothers and sisters, if you can any time this week before next Jum'ah to go and visit someone that is suffering from pain. Psychological, physical, spiritual. Go and visit someone that is suffering through some kind of pain. If they're in another country and you know them, write them a letter. And I would prefer that you write with a pencil or pen and you send it via mail. Because they're going to wonder, what is this mail? It must be something important. They couldn't send an email? No, because it shows the gravity of the matter. So remembering, brothers and sisters, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ala kulli shay'in qadir, that He is able to do all things, and whatever He puts in front of us, we want to handle it in a way that increases our iman, purifies our sins, and serves as an influence on those around us to remember Him and be grateful. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب اللهم صل وسلم على المسلمين اللهم صل وسلم على المسلمين اللهم صل وسلم على المسلمين Oh Allah, help the weak Muslims all over the earth, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Oh Allah, help our brothers and sisters in Gaza and in China and in Sudan, Ya Rabbil Alameen. And in Burma, Ya Rabbil Alameen. And Rohingya, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Allah, makfir lahum dhunubuhum wa kafir anhum sayyi'atihim, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Ya ayyuhal mu'minun. Inna Allah ya'muru bil adli wal ihsani wa ita'i dhil qurba wa yanha 'anil fahsha'i wal munkari wal baghi. Ya'idhukum la'allakum tadhakkarun. Fadhkurullaha yadhkurkum wa shkuruhu 'ala ni'mihi yazidkum. And the remembrance of Allah is the greatest thing, and Allah is well aware of what you do. Establish the prayer.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على السلام حي على السلام حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح خدوهامة السلام خدوهامة السلام الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
Young man in the corner. Those that know how I get down. We're about to pray. So I take the loo. Have the women actually come straight in the mask plus 100%. Jazakallah khair. Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين إن للمتقين مفازا حدائق وأعنابا وكواعب أترابا وكأسا دهاقا لا يسمعون فيها لغوا ولا كذابا جزاء من ربك عطاء حسابا رب السماوات والأرض وما بينهما الرحمن لا يملكون منه خطابا يوم يقوم الروح والملائكة صفا لا يتكلمون إلا من أذن له الرحمن وقال صوابا ذلك اليوم الحق فمن شاء اتخذ إلى ربه مآبا إنا أنذرناكم عذابا قريبا يوم ينظر المرء ما قدمت يداه ويقول الكافر يا ليتني كنت ترابا الله أكبر سبحان الله سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر,
الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين. قل هو الله أحد، الله الصمد، لم يلد ولم يولد، ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.